Podcast. Ian Trottier here with Discussions of Truth, and the name of the podcast is Discussions of Truth. We're at CPAC right now, CPAC DC. I am with
Jared Sessler.
Jared, tell us about Jared Sessler. It's S-E-S-S-L-E-R. Jared, what are you doing?
I'm running for Congress in Washington State, Eastern Washington. I'm running against one of the 10 Republicans that voted to impeach President Trump. We are the most conservative district on the West Coast and one of the most conservative in the country, and we don't have a conservative representative. He's a Republican, but he votes with the Democrats about half the time. And the people of our district are very upset with what's going on in our country right now, especially with the border invasion and the economy. And it's time for us to send our very best to Washington, D.C., and not just political people. I'm not a politician. I'm a family man, raised 3 kids, married 28 years, homeschooled our kids. I'm a veteran, businessman. I sold my business, and I'm standing up for America now.
So I recently did organized an event in Eastern Oregon. And I had a rancher, a friend of mine in Florida, a rancher approached me and says, Ian, he says, my business is going downhill. I can't continue paying the taxes raising. I want to fight the socialist incursion. This was in Baker City, Oregon. Yeah. And that's what I'm finding is that a lot of these kind of larger city policies, are encroaching now into the more rural areas. Are you seeing anything like that in your district? And by the way, I did mention Joe Kent.
Yeah.
That's a different district than yours.
But yeah, Joe Kent, I'll just answer that quick. But Joe Kent's running in the 3rd district in Washington. It's a much more difficult race, but Joe Kent should win. We have an absolute crazy leftist in that seat right now. You know, definitely need to support Joe Kent. That's in the 3rd district. I'm in the 4th district, which is in Washington. And to your question, we see the same thing there, because what most people don't know around the country is Washington State is divided into 2 sides, eastern and western. Eastern side is almost all farmland. It's very rural. It's spread out. There's no real big cities. There are some pretty good-sized towns, but nothing like Seattle on the west side. Seattle is very leftist, very liberal, very crazy. All their policies are completely leftist and just, you know, negative against our country and our state. And what happens is you have these nonprofits that are on the west side that are influencing things like water rights, salmon runs, you know, energy generation, trying to push electric vehicles, doing all this kind of stuff. So definitely seeing a big push out of the blue cities trying to impact the red rural areas in ways that they don't even understand. They don't go out in the fields and pick their food. They go to the grocery store and pick it up. And they don't realize that all the things that they're trying to do to us in the rural areas is affecting their food supply. So they're either going to have food from within the country here that is grown locally and grown by fellow Americans, or if they keep going, they're going to end up with food supply that comes from China.
What got you involved in this? You're not a politician. You decided to stand up.
Yeah.
What got you involved?
The biggest thing was in 2012 when Obama was reelected for the second term, I was just literally politically numb. It was the first time in my life I had this mental numbness because of politics, and I was frustrated because as a veteran and somebody that risked my life to save the, you know, stand for the freedom and liberty that we enjoy in this country, I couldn't imagine having 4 more years of this just absolute weakness that was definitely bad for our country. And so at that time, I decided I wanted to get involved in politics. Now, mind you, this is a big deal. I'm a business guy for 25 plus years. When I was in high school, I remember walking past the debate class, and I literally hugged the lockers on the opposite side of the hallway because I wanted nothing to do with anything political. And so in 2012, I started my journey to learn about politics. I took myself through Hillsdale College classes and read books and read the Federalist Papers and started traveling. I'd already been coming to D.C. for years for business, and so I'm very familiar with the machinations of our lobbyist system and all that kind of stuff. But I didn't really understand how the country was supposed to work. And I read books like by David Barton, The Original Intent, and things like that. And so then fast forward to 2020, the election. I was in D.C. on January 6th. I saw what actually happened. I just went home from that, and I just said, you know what? It's time. we need to take this seat back. We need to have a true conservative in this seat who's going to fight for America and stand for America. And frankly, I don't really care about making friends. You know, what I care about is making a difference, bringing the American opportunity back to America. So, and again, the opportunity isn't a guarantee. The opportunity is not a result. Opportunity only means something if you put energy into it and then you get a result. I came from a broken family. I worked my butt off. I made something in my life. I took hold of that opportunity and I had a really successful business, built a family, stayed married, raised kids, did all that stuff. I love America. I love what it stands for. Ultimately, that comes from my faith in Jesus. I'm a Christian, strong Christian. I believe that, you know, we need to stand for America because God is with America. If it wasn't for God, we wouldn't have this great America.
What are some of the things that alarm you right now in America? Let's get outside of Washington for a moment. What's happening to your country overall? What are you seeing?
Well, I was at the border a couple weeks ago. It's not my first time going to the border. I was with a small group, Wendy Rogers, down in Arizona, hooked us up with some people. Actually, I took my daughter, too. She's 21, but she's been to the border a couple times with me. I also have two sons, and one of them has traveled with me extensively with political stuff. I've also been to the northern border. We have an invasion going on in our country right now. Yeah. We have two to three times as many people coming across our border every year as new Americans being born every year. This is nothing short of an invasion. And to see it as anything other than that is complete lunacy. On top of that, as a result of this Biden administration that's totally illegitimate, we've lost control of our economy. We cannot afford gas and groceries on the same day, and that's just realism. You know, the reality is we have more personal debt in America than we've ever had before, which tells me that people are living off their credit cards, and that's only going to last for so long. And the only end to that is increased crime. Meanwhile, we have leftists who are trying to defund police and nationalize the police system. That's a big problem. That leads us to socialism, to communism, to totalitarianism that we're seeing in mass today. And the unfortunate part about it is most Americans aren't ready for this. They're not ready for it personally, and they're not ready for it mentally. So when you talk about it, they're like, they get afraid and run away. And what we need is, the reason my candidacy is so important is I'm coming from a district that is primarily conservative. I can say whatever I want, and they're still going to reelect me.
Primarily cattle ranches? What's...
Yeah, ranching, farming, real Americans, red-blooded, you know, conservative Americans, churchgoers, you know, that kind of thing. But when you have congressmen and representatives that come from districts that are really tight, they may not be as bold. You see me? And we need people that are going to go there. I don't care about it. I've already been successful. I'm just going to go, and I'm meeting with a group of congressional representatives in a few days here, and I'm just going to be bold. I'm going to tell them, like, this is what we need to do.
What are you going to tell them?
You know? Well, I'm going to tell them, first of all, that there's a lot of corruption, even within their own ranks, and we need to face that. And if we don't face it, if we allow it to continue, we're going to be in trouble.
Who you meet with?
I can't tell you. I don't want to tell you that because I don't want to implicate those people or make any of that. A lot of them are friends.
Is there a topic?
They're conservatives. Let's just put it that way.
What's the topic?
They're very conservative. The topic is,
why are they meeting with you?
The topic is, who is this guy running in Washington State that's going to take out, that's going to replace one of the people that is within our ranks, that when you ask them about this guy, Dan Newhouse, they say, you know what? He's more of a Democrat than he is a Republican.
Name the person you're going to take out.
Dan Newhouse.
All right, let me ask you this question. On a general scope, we get, you know, 4 years of Trump talking about fake news, deep state. What's the deep state to you? What is that to you?
Well, I think it's the apparatus. If you look at this, what is this thing called? Is it election 2024 or something, or White House 2024? What is that thing? It's where they're basically going to help the incoming president, which is Trump. They're going to help them basically take out, like, the Department of Education. And
I haven't heard of this.
Yeah, they have a booth here, actually, here at CPAC. Do you remember what it is? No. Anyway, so that I think it's the unelected bureaucrats that surround Washington, D.C. Like, why is it that we centralize all of our federal power right here in Washington, D.C.? Wouldn't it be better to spread that out across the country? So, I mean, I think that's one of them because, you know, elected come and go. But today, there's almost no elected that are actually writing bills. it's all these other, it's all this apparatus around. Now there is some good, you know, you have the Heritage Foundation, you have, you know, CPAC is helping, there's other charities and nonprofits and stuff, but there's a lot of not good. There's a lot of, you know, and when they're flying money around, like the leftists are doing, they're not just spending our tax dollars, they're spending borrowed, they get the U.S. credit card out and swipe it. That's a big problem, and the House is responsible for the purse strings. So we need to, if I'm going to do anything
at
Congress.
The purse strings.
Yeah, if I'm going to do anything at Congress, yeah, it's the money.
Spending starts
in
the House.
We need to strengthen the loins of our representatives in Congress to stand up, and that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to inspire conservatives in Washington State to stand up and take that state back, but I'm going to inspire representatives here in Washington, D.C. to stand up and do what they are elected to do.
It sounds like you're getting there to the front door, at least to talk to them.
Absolutely, yeah. A lot of these people know me. I've been coming to D.C. and for my business for 25, 30 years, you know, meeting with these people, Democrats, Republicans, all of them. And you know, it's time for a change. So I feel like I have respect from a lot of these people. So,
sir, again, where can people find you, your website?
The best thing is...
Donate to your campaign.
Yeah, Jared Sessler. Go to either jaredsessler.com or jaredforcongress.com. That's J-E-R-R-O-D for congress.com. On Twitter, I'm at Sessler, S-E-S-S-L-E-R. You can follow me. I've been banned on just about everything there, even though Elon Musk
doing
owns
something
it.
Right.
Still doing it, yeah, and Facebook's banning me. So I appreciate the support. I put, you
Are
know...
You vaxxed?
No, pure blood. I put my life savings into this. I sold my company to fight for America, and it's time for Americans to stand up. It's all on the line.
Your father, grandfather?
I'm a father, yeah. Father of three. Not a grandfather yet, although my daughter's getting married this summer, so I'm pretty excited about that. He's a good kid, so he's a lucky guy to be able to marry my daughter.
Jared, appreciate your time.
Thank you, Ian. Appreciate the work you're doing.